Welcome to another edition of Radio Influencers, a podcast series we're doing for Radio Update. And I've got Marianne McWhirter with me. How are you doing on this Friday?
Hi, Andy. Doing well. Thank you. Thank you.
I did pronounce the last name correctly.
That's right. Yep. Nailed it. McWhirter. Okay.
That's the problem about being a Texan is sometimes our pronunciation is not.
I won't judge you for that. It's okay.
Not so good. So you wrote an amazing article for Radio Update recently that I kind of wanted to get you to expand on. But before we get into that, can you tell me a little bit about what you do for Lead G2?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am one of two VP senior directors at Lead G2 and help run the company. We're an B2B marketing agency with a strong focus in sales. We're also HubSpot partners, so we help our clients generate leads. We help our clients utilize HubSpot and close more deals.
And you do have a radio background as well, right?
I do. Yes, I was in radio sales back in the day. It's really where I got started. The Center for Sales Strategy, who's our parent company at Lead G2, trained me in radio sales. And when I left radio sales, I went to go be a marketing director of a school. And then my DOS from my radio days called me up and said, "Hey, I think you'd be really good. I'm working for the Center for Sales Strategy now, and I think you'd be really good at one of our branches, which is the Lead G2 division. Are you interested in coming and kind of combining your sales and marketing experience?" And Lead G2 is the perfect place to do that. Really running marketing for companies with a background in sales and a focus in sales. So that's how I ended up here.
When you started in radio sales versus 6 months in, how much different was it than you expected it to be?
I had no idea what I was doing when I started in radio sales. I remember standing in the kitchen, the break room on my first day. I was just eager to get to know everyone. And I talked to a real veteran there who had been there for 30 years selling radio for these stations. And I live in Nashville, Tennessee. We have big, radio stations. And he said, "So what sales experience do you have? You got some B2B sales experience?" And I was like, "Nope." And he's like, "Oh, okay, well then you must be really into music. Do you love our radio station?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't play instruments. I'm not a music junkie either." And he's like, "What are you doing here?" But it ended up being a great place. And I absolutely loved it and was successful and thrived. And he became one of my good friends, but I'll never forget that happening.
Yeah, well, at least I always say if you can get past that 6 month mark, past hearing no quite a few times,
and those veterans that are in the cubicle beside you trying to scare you away from taking their new business too. I got past him in the break room that day, and I was
That's kind of like on the on air side. It's similar when I because I grew up in the business, so I had a fairly long resume. So sometimes the older on air personalities that were veterans would kind of look at me like, "What's this young whippersnapper doing here?" And what's it kind of try to scare you off a little bit, and you got to get past it.
So
one of the things that you put in your article that kind of stood out to me was the power of content marketing. Why is it so important to create your own content in 2024?
Oh gosh, at this point, everybody's heard content is king, right?
Yeah.
We know that our prospects are going to the internet before they're calling you up to have you educate them, right? We've got to get in front of them before they're ready to talk to a salesperson. You have to have content out there to do that. You've got to be talking to your prospect before they're physically talking to you. And to do that, you can do it with content.
On the radio side, what's one or two easy things radio stations could do to improve their online presence?
Yeah. Okay. That's a great question. And the first answer is have a B2B website. I think radio stations think that their station website is enough, and it's not. Your prospects don't know that you have marketing experts that work there and can work with you to help grow your brand. And you've got to talk about that and educate and create content around that on a website. You have to be found that way. It really will help your sellers. It gives them a huge benefit. And honestly, if you don't at this point, your competition is. A lot of my clients are. And so if you don't have one, you're going to lose out to competition because your prospects are going to go to the internet to look for the answer.
And for crying out loud, get on LinkedIn.
Right.
Isn't it incredible that sometimes they won't even be on LinkedIn?
It really is. It's a free place to shout your thought leadership. There's no reason you shouldn't be there and intentionally spending time there.
Yeah, and I don't know that everyone realizes that it's a great place to share content as well.
I don't think of, I mean, LinkedIn has really changed over the past 5 years, not even 10. I mean, it's been more recently. It's not a resume plaster place anymore. That's not even how it brands itself. It's a place to grow your business. It's a place to share your thought leadership. It's a place to establish yourself professionally. Obviously for salespeople, but really for any profession, there's no reason you shouldn't be on there sharing, educating and getting in front of people.
Yeah. Yeah. I was bad about it. And obviously, well, as a consultant, I am a salesperson too, because I'm selling my consulting services. And that's one that I was a late adopter to. And man, I wish if I could go back a couple years and put more of an effort into LinkedIn, I definitely would. You know, you kind of touched on this already, but radio spends a lot of time and energy thinking about how to market to listeners. How could we do a better job, you know, on the B2B side? Because I feel like we neglect that quite a bit.
Right. Okay. So knowing who your prospects are, right? Not just your listeners, making sure that you can distinguish between that, right? Who is buying from you to be on your air? Really diving in deep to that. I work with a lot of people who think they know that, and then they actually go in and survey their best clients and find out a lot of information they didn't know. I've never once in a target persona survey to someone's top 20% best clients and had them say, oh, I already knew everything. I already knew all of that. That's no surprise to me. But before you send that survey, they always say, oh, I know my clients. I know who's paying me money. I know who I want more of. So actually surveying your clients, figuring out who they are, why they're motivated to buy, digging deep to really form who that target persona is that you're going after is a really important step. And then creating content for them, right? Being able to talk to them at every stage of their buyer's journey, where they are in their process of purchasing from you, whether they're just aware that radio advertising exists or they're deciding between two different stations to buy from. Having content to be able to speak to all of that is important.
Can you explain what you mean a little bit about the buyer's journey, like what that entails?
Yeah. So when we think about the buyer's journey, we think about awareness, consideration, and decision-making, right? So when someone is going to buy from you, the buyer, where are they in that journey? Are they just considering that, realizing that they have a problem? Oh gosh, you know, I need to be in front of more people. Nobody knows that my store exists. How do I do that? They're not thinking about buying radio yet. They're just thinking, I have a marketing problem. And then in the consideration stage, they're starting to think, what should I do next? I'm going to look into how much billboards cost. Should I look into TV ads? Like, how do you even make those? So they're starting to consider what their options are to have more people know who they are. And then in the decision stage, they're deciding who to go with. Am I going to buy? I know I want to buy radio at this point. Do I need to buy this station or this station? Is this price better? Do I need to buy this time slot? Do I need to buy this time slot? Like, what am I going to buy? And those three stages, your prospect needs different information. They're asking different questions. Whether they're asking you, the salesperson, or they're researching on their own, they have different questions that need to be answered. So making sure that your salespeople are speaking to them on where they are in their buyer's journey and answering those questions preemptively or after they're asked. And they have content to back them up, right? To help validate the answers that they're giving.
Yeah. So basically your messaging changes depending on where they're at in that buyer's journey. So recognizing helps you immensely. How important is consistency across channels?
Oh my goodness. This is something that radio people are the best at it because they have these clearly identified DJs with brands and they brand their stations so well, but they don't always do it for their B2B salespeople, for their brand as a station or a group of stations. So making sure that you are consistent with your voice across everything is so huge. You want your prospect to recognize you and connect you to the different places that they're seeing you and hearing your voice.
Yeah. And that's what always amazes me about radio is it's like, we're in the business of getting paid to help brand other people. And then sometimes, you know, we don't do a good job branding ourselves.
Yeah. What do they call it? The cobbler's children. That's what it is, right?
Yeah, a cobbler's children has no shoes, or the mechanic,
yes,
you know, with a car.
Yes, that's the
his
phrase.
Own car's breaking
and
down.
Radio, they're the worst at it. It's unbelievable because they're so good at what they do and they're not doing it for themselves.
Yep. You know, so on the programming side, I always tell on-air personalities to blog, and I show them the stats of how much it improves SEO and how important it is. You know, I love what you said. Even media companies should blog. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yes. Yep. So again, it's using that same consistent voice to talk to your prospects. You've got to be talking to your prospects about their problems and about how your marketing solutions can help, and putting it on a blog for SEO to be working, to bring people to your site and to find you, is the best way to do it. A website is so important, but if you have a website of one page and you're going to create a second page, the second page needs to be a blog. You've got to have a blog to help bring in that new audience. You're trying to attract new people and they're going to the internet, so have them find you through your blog. They're all experts. These radio stations know a lot about marketing. Their salespeople know a lot about marketing. So extracting that information and posting it in a blog is really important.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of folks are intimidated by that, but I mean, you're talking 500 words, 750
less
tops.
Oh, yeah. 400 words is adequate for a blog these days, right? I mean, attention spans are short. We've seen the trend of shorter blog posts being, really beneficial. Doesn't have to be long.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with using AI to help you get started, you know, and then putting the finishing touches on it, because, you know, there's nothing to be ashamed of with that.
So I'll say, I don't know who my target audience is right now, because yes, I don't want people to be fearful of AI. It's happening. You got to accept it. You can't avoid it. You know, you should be using it. Everyone should be using it. So if you're scared of AI, use it. And if you're all into AI, don't think you can only rely on it. You still have to heavily edit, add your own expertise. AI does not have the expertise that you have. And to be a thought leader, you have to share something unique within it. So use AI to get you started and then heavily edit before you publish. And yeah, it's definitely a faster process with AI. We use AI, and we also have a lot of experts that spend time doing a lot of editing.
Yeah, and that's you're still personalizing it. You're still localizing it. I mean, you're just, it's a tool. And the way I always put it is, you know, you don't want to be at a disadvantage because your competitors are using it and you're not.
Right. And you know, you can't avoid it. There's no reason to try, right? Like,
the cat's out of the bag.
It's happening.
Not going back in.
It's happening.
So, I also noticed you had a lab, which are hands down the best dogs ever. We had a lab for several years. Do you still have your lab? Or
yeah, usually he's in my background. I have my screen a little near him, but he lays right behind me most of the time.
They are ours was the worst guard dog ever, because it was 120 pounds, but it loved everyone.
Same.
So if somebody broke in, it would have just made friends with it immediately.
Oh. 100%. Mailman is Hank's best friend. Miss Teresa is her name, and he just runs down our driveway to get a treat from her every day when she drops off the mail. So yeah, he's the most lovable 120-pound babe that I have in my home.
Yeah, we would take ours to a dog park, and it could care less about the dogs. It just wanted to go up to all the people. and I noticed, so you're an Auburn fan. Be honest, which means, are you more an Auburn fan or more anti-Alabama? Which do you have more passion for?
Auburn, first off, definitely more an Auburn fan. However, my husband is an Alabama fan, and he's the worst kind of Alabama fan because he didn't go there. He went to Swanee. He just says he's the biggest football fan, which drives me mad because I'm an Auburn alum. I'm proud, and I love it for the right reasons, and he's an Alabama fan. That's terrible.
In the same household, that's tough.
I know.
Although you probably had some fun that now that Nick Saban's gone, because
it's very exciting. And I'm already brainwashing my children. They're 2 and 4. My 2-year-old already knows all about Aubie and loves wearing his Aubie shirt. So we're on the right track record in this house still.
Yeah. One thing that we kind of breezed over, but so you do a lot with lead generation. What's the best way to kind of tell a legitimate lead from a lead that's not really a lead?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's So we do a lot of different things to do that, right? So lead scoring is one of them. So there's some automation that we use in HubSpot, which is the automation platform that we use, to automate some lead scoring based on the properties that we've gathered on the form that they filled out, like the lead has filled out on the website. Mm-hmm. So there's some automation that can happen. And then there's training, right? Who is going to be your, the person that's going through your leads? Who's going to be divvying them out to the sales team? And then what is their checklist of what they need to look for? Because we do get a lot of spam, right? We all do. Again, unavoidable. Spam is happening. Internet attacks are happening. So there's some automation you can use, and there's some training that you can use for your for the person who's qualifying your leads.
Yeah, the other big thing I think you run into quite a bit in sales is the pretend decision maker. So where they, you're confident this is the person making the decision. So you put all that time and energy into talking to them, and you're multiple meetings in before you realize this is not the person making the decision. Is there any secret sauce to get to figure that out quicker?
So I'm going to circle back to our target persona conversation to answer that question, because knowing who your target persona is and what their position is at the company is going to be your biggest help going in, knowing who you're looking for off the bat. And sometimes that's not right, and different businesses can be different. But when I do target persona surveys of people's best customers, so much of the time people don't realize who their target persona, what position they hold at the company, right? They think it's the marketing director, but it's actually the CEO. Or they think it's the CEO and it's actually the marketing director. Right. Actually surveying your current clients and seeing who the decision maker was in their buying process, you know, even if it's just 20 clients, you'd get some good information to know when you start talking to other prospects. I thought I was going to be going after the director of marketing here, but I want to make sure that CEO is in my very first meeting, because from my survey and my current clients, I know that they're the real decision maker, and I'm not going to waste time with this person right now, or whatever it be. But actually using real past data is my best answer for that, because it exists. You have it. You've run this business. You have clients. Who are those decision makers? Find out and then apply it for your salespeople so they know who to look for.
Yeah, and it's a tough tightrope to walk too, because sometimes when you realize, okay, this person that's a big advocate that really is interested in doing business with me is not the decision maker, but I don't want to tick them off because they're going to help sell me to the decision maker. So
right, keep them as an evangelist for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So it you got to be careful not you know, getting on their bad side by looking like you're stepping over them. But right. Yeah, you if you want to get the sell, you actually have to talk to the person who's making that decision.
So, I mean, another thing that salespeople can really do is, again, go back to like utilizing LinkedIn, connect with multiple people at the company. And if you're posting thought leadership on your LinkedIn profile, and you're connected with these people that are decision makers, you can rope in more people than just the one that you're calling. And they can already have buy-in and trust with you before they even meet you.
Yeah, I would say LinkedIn is the number one way I figure out who the decision maker is. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it used to be you'd have to do all this research and really dig in. And now it's like so easy to do on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. You can get some trust and credibility and rapport before you even meet with them if you're posting regularly enough for that decision maker to be reading things and being educated from you.
Yeah, that's why the content is so incredibly important, because you're basically selling them on your philosophy and it's just a great way to get people intrigued with what you're doing.
Right.
And it doesn't cost you anything.
I know. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Why are we giving away our secrets?
Yeah, well, like on the consulting side, you know, I've only been doing this 4 years, but hands down, the most effective thing I've done is blog every week. Just once a week blogging, and I made that a point to do it, and it's amazing how that's still my main lead gen.
And you know what? If you went on vacation for 2 weeks and skipped a few, you'd still be getting as many or more leads, because it works so long term. That's what's so great about it. It's not a quick, blogging is not a quick fix to get a bunch of leads. But when you do it for 4 years, you're really going to make an impact. There's nothing more fun for me than seeing one of my clients I've worked with for 6 years, and they posted an article in 2020 that has started to go viral. And every single month they get thousands and thousands of visits to their website through that article. And it was one blog post from 2020. So we blog regularly and we do it for that reason. So we can get some that are really picked up by search engines and continuing to bring leads.
One thing I go back and forth with stations is I'm a firm believer of boosting content if you see something that's getting traction. Like, I think you definitely have to have a strategy to it, but I don't think there's anything wrong with putting money behind content that's already starting to take off to add fuel to the fire. Do you believe in that? And what sites do you think work the best for it?
Yeah, so we started as an inbound marketing agency, so we don't do ads. But I think doing both inbound and outbound together is a great idea, right? It's going to get you more results more quickly. I love the idea of combining inbound and outbound, and boosting with strategy behind your money is really important.
Yeah. So where can they find you and find all your stuff?
Yeah, find me on LinkedIn, Marian McCorder. I'm there and I share all my thoughts there. So definitely give me a follow to learn more. And then visit us at leadg2.com. We would love to connect.
Thank you. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, sure thing, Andy. It was great to get to talk to you.
Radio Influencers is a Radio Update production. New episodes are released on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern.